This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
And the spiritual part of the world are creations that have no material form. They're creations just like the material world is a creation, but it is a creation without material form. Such as? A smell, that's why the Gemara says that that's the most spiritual of senses, but it still is one of the five senses. So that's still physical, yeah. There are these boundary line ones. I think it's a Gemara that says that smell is the sense that is. That's why we use smell for the Neshama Yisera. The Vilna Gaon says music is one of the closest, one of the things. It's also something which can be sensed, so it belongs to Geshem, but it's closest, one of the closest physical creations to something spiritual. Because it is least easy to sense, one needs to use one's intellect to understand it and so on. So these are Ruchnim and Nivroim Meshulolim Migeshim, spiritual things that are not, they are creations not material, Bilti Murgoshim Mechushenu, that cannot be sensed using our five senses. Umbischalkim Lishnei Minim, and they too are subdivided into two further categories. Ho'echod Neshomis, the one is Neshomis, V'Hasheni Nivdolim, and the other one is called Nivdolim. A good word for Nivdolim, I don't know. Transcendental beings. No, that's for a Samach, that's alright. Okay. Nivdolim means separate, apartness, beings that are apart. Hanashomos hein min Nivroim Ruchniim. Neshomas are a type of spiritual creation. His asadu lovoi besoich guf, designed to take their place within a physical form, within a body, ligovel besoichoi, to be bound up in it, inside it. Velikosher boi bekesher omit, and to be attached to it with an extremely strong attachment. Velif oil boi pu'uloi shoinos, bizmanim shoinim. And to affect, to cause various actions in that body at different times. That's what a neshoma is. You've got a definition of a neshoma. It's a spiritual creation designed to be bound in a body and attached to it, and to motivate various actions in that body. Hanivdolim mean nivroim ruchnim. Nivdolim are also a type of spiritual creation. Bilti me'usodim legufis klal, which are not destined in any way to become attached to a body. Those are the nivdolim. V'nechelokim lishnei chalokim. Now they, the nivdolim, are further divided into two further categories. Or echod, one of those categories, nikroim koichus, is called koichus, powers. Basheni Malochim, the other one is called Malochim, angels. So we've got physical, material. Material divided into upper and lower. Sorry, physical and spiritual. Physical divided into upper and lower. Spiritual divided into Neshomos and Nivdolim. Nivdolim divided into Koichos and Malochim. Vegam hemi malus rabbis v'shoynus, and there are very many different categories of these creations. Velohem chukim tivim b'mtziyusom, and they have laws of nature. Just as the physical world is governed by laws of nature, so these spiritual beings are governed by laws of nature. Kefi malusem u'madregosom, in accordance with their levels and degrees. Ad shebe'emes nuchol likroisom minim rabim shel sug echod, to the point where one can call them very different, many different species, types of the same species, shehu asug hamalochi, which is the angelic species. On the second part. Seems not. But they are koiches and many types of malochi. V'ulom nimtzo min echod shel nivroim. But there is yet another type of creature. So we've got the physical, we've got the spiritual. Physical is divided into upper and lower physical. Spiritual divided into koichos and nivdolim. Nivdolim is divided into... Sorry, we've divided the koichos and malochim. Koichos are divided into nivdolim and malochim. No, sorry. Koichos, we've got koichos and malochim. Koichos and neshomos. The first definition is neshomos and nivdolim. And nivdolim is divided into koichos and malochim. But there's yet another species. There's another category altogether. There is something that spans the gap between spiritual and material. And that is something which in fact is not able to be sensed using the senses. And it is also not bound by the physical boundaries that bound the material world. And therefore we might call him inaccurately part of a ruchni, as part of the spiritual world. But he's not really an angel. Even though it can be somewhat compared to an angel. And it has its governed by its own laws and statutes and boundary lines, as its own Metzius dictates. The Nikro Zehamin Hashedi. And this one's called the ghost. The shady part. Shehu Min Hashedim, which is a species of Shedim. V'ulam Gamhu Yischalek Lipratim Achadim. This also can be divided into different categories. And then the next word is rubbed out in my mouth. Shiyashuv Hamin Akloli Sug Ligabeim Behim Minim Elov. That the general species is considered a governing species, and they are parts of that general species. So we have the shade, which is somewhere in between. Can't be sensed with the five senses, and yet nor is it really an angel. It's something that's a bit of a mixture of both. That's the shade. Now we'll come to that still. V'hine nivchan v'nivdal min ha'odem levadai. And man is separated and discerned as a separate being, liyos murkav mishnei minei bria nivdolim legamri, made up of two completely opposite parts of the bria, the hainu that is haneshomo ha'elyono v'haguf ha'shofer. Man is created from the highest of the high, the neshomo, together with the lowest of the low, the guf. All men. Mashaloi nimtza b'shum nivro acher, something which is not found in any other creation. In any other creature. That is what is unique about man. And that explains all the human tensions that we suffer from. Come down to this at the end of the day. This is why there is human tension. That's why animals don't have tensions. It's funny how off the mark they go. They are employing some of the most highly qualified psychologists to test the stress levels of elephants when they're being culled. And at the end of the day, really, it's a misunderstanding of the whole concept of stress. Because yes, there are physical stresses, but the essence of stress is created by the shoma and the guf being tied into one human, into one being. And an elephant doesn't have that. So the whole concept of stress is completely different. There is no, it's like plants also suffer from stress, but you can't go measuring the stress of a poppy when you cut it. And try and learn from that something about human stress. It just, the one has nothing to do with each other. But since science is based on Darwinian theory, the scientists will not accept that there's any difference between an elephant and a human being. And therefore they must, as part of their theory, it must be right that you can learn about human stress from analyzing elephant stress. They're doing it at the Kruger Park at the moment. They've got a team of highly qualified psychologists studying the stress of elephants when they're being culled. This is the reason, this is the cause of stress. That the human being is created by two forces pulling him in two opposite directions. And until that is resolved, he finds himself in a state of stress, which is aggravated by all the other things which happen around and about him. And never think, says the Derech Hashem, that the this in this aspect there is any similarity between other creatures and man. Ki ein nefesh ha-bailechayim elo dover gashmi. Because while other animals do have a nefesh, their nefesh is matter. Their nefesh is material, it's not spiritual. It is a nefesh, but it's material. Min hadakim shebegashmius. It is the finest of fine of material things. We talked about smell being the finest. The Derech Hashem is going further and saying there's something even finer than smell in the material world. And that is the soul of an animal. The soul of an animal is the finest, is the most closely akin to a spiritual thing that there can be in the physical world. But it's physical. That's the difference.
A nefesh applies to animals.
Yes, and a human being also has a nefesh. So the neshama comes is spiritual and the nefesh is physical. A nefesh is treated by a doctor and a neshama is treated by a rov. That's the difference. And that's why animals don't need rabbis, but they do need psychologists, which proves what? That psychologists don't touch the spiritual area of the human being at all. They're not interested in that area. If they were, they wouldn't occupy themselves with animals. Who's done a course of psychology? First year, what do they deal with? Animals or human beings? They start with animals. The first part is all animals, and from there they go to human beings. They will not accept that there is a difference between the animal and the human. That there's a difference. By a difference, I mean that the principles that apply to an animal do not apply to a human being, and vice versa.
That's rats.
He's rats. And the South African psychologists are using elephants. At least there's progress, they're getting bigger. He also mentioned that he was involved. That's right. And what happens is a matter of interest. What happens if a person would say, take a person like that, it wasn't Dr. Rosner, it was Dr. Weiss. He would say to his colleagues, look, there's no point in studying impalas. What did he say? They found that when impalas are put in an enclosure,
and they chased them.
Didn't threaten them. They just chased them, caught them, and let them go. 50% of them died. Right. So they're studying the relationship of shock to stress and to disease and so on. What would happen if he would say, "Chevra, there's no point in it. Impalas are animals. They don't have neshamas. Human beings are human beings. They have not evolved from animals. There is absolutely no point in pursuing a study of stress on impala." What would happen to him? He would lose his job. The tremendous force that there is in the States, it's much bigger than anywhere else, to accept evolution is unbelievable. That any professor who suggests that evolution might not be the only way of looking at the world, immediately he'll find his papers aren't being published, he'll find his tenure is not being granted, and he'll have to start teaching in high school or something. That what? Okay, that's because that's rational. Darwin's quite rational. You need a bit of a spiritual understanding to realize that it's inadequate to explain. But if you go on pure rationale, then it's fine. You can't, because of the coping capacities. A human being can suffer from stress, and by the role that the neshama will play in the healing process, his response is not going to be the same. Not the cause isn't the same, and his coping mechanism isn't the same. He has a means of resolving his stress. You could correlate it on the purely physical side, but that doesn't really help you, because the solution to it and the method of coping, the human being doesn't cope only physically. An impala has no other way to cope except with his immune system and all his biochemistry. That's all he's got to cope with. And you can learn from there that that's not adequate to cope with stress in 50% of cases of impala. Fine. But that's irrelevant to a human being, because he has a completely different coping mechanism over and above his biological coping method. And stress is something so spiritual that the coping system of his spiritual being is going to be far more active than his physical being. So it's bullshit. It's going off on a tack which is hardly relevant. Let's say it's misleading. That's what I think.
The best way to explain it was they had this box of family tennis court and the thing in the middle of the tennis net. Talk to the electric on the other side, put it out on the one side. These are the lady on the arena bell, and then the passer would get to come to the side. So they conditioned the pollution response in the rat. It knows after a while when the bell's coming that side, it's going to the electric passer get a shot. And if it jumps over the net, it's going to get a shot. So after a dozen, 2,000 times, it learns when you ring the bell to jump over the net. Then what they do is once they've got a nasty condition, they ring the bell and it jumps over the net, they electrify the other side. So now, instead of getting away from the shop, it gets a shot. So after doing that a little while, the rat then gets into a state of completely confusion, not knowing what to do, and they call that a neurosis, and they say that the rat now is...
That you can do. That part of it, in terms of motivation, that theoretically you can do, because you're dealing there with a purely physical part of the human being, and one can
find... cowering in the corner, not doing anything, and they say that's the way the human being reacts in a similar sort of stress situation, doesn't know how to do it.
How to cope with it.
Isn't that what they did in Vietnam? Maybe the experiments for you were operate, because both human beings are acting like animals.
So that's the next, that comes a little bit further on. Can the human being deteriorate to the level where he is nothing more but a biological being?
Because
that's the question, if that is so.
Yeah. Vietnam, so that, yeah. It was a deliberate program to break through the emergency that was born and sing them back. And that's it, that's the one in the wall. They came back there as these total wrecks because they did exactly that. They didn't know how to react. Because one day the guard was friendly with them and they told me about your family. And then they got a parcel from the Red Cross with a picture of his dad. He came to show the guard. He's correct. They didn't know how to react. You know, they had 3 plates and 10 people. And they saw me for days. And then there's your supper. And they're going to be all rushed. They said, what are you, animals? They're all rushing me. They don't have to behave properly. No supper for anybody. The next day they had 3 plates and 10 people. And they all didn't know what to do. They said, well, you're not hungry. You don't want to go for the food. There's no supper for nothing. In the end, they just didn't know how to react.
There's no question that you can drive a human being mad. We're not suggesting that it's not possible to drive a human being mad. It's just
they said those with inner resources
So that we come to further on, where the human being can deteriorate to a biological level. And there is such a thing as a nefesh also in a man, because after all, a man is an animal. A part of a man is an animal. The important thing is he's not only an animal, but he is an animal. He has a physical body which functions like an animal body. Omnam zulas kol zeh, but apart from his complete body, which is like an animal body, yesh ba'odam neshama elyono. Governing that and involved with it is the neshama elyono. Shehi min brio bifnei atzma, which is a completely separate brio. Nivdeles min aguf, it's separate from the body, legamri, urechoiko mimenu admoid, and extremely distant from the body. Shebo v'nikshiro boi b'gzeirosu yisvarach shemo, which the Ribbono Shel Olam through his gzeiro attaches to the body, ala kavona shezachanu bifrokim shekadamnu, with the intention and the purpose that we have mentioned in the previous chapters. That's the introduction to the creation of the human being. It's totally unnatural. For the neshama to be attached itself to the body is totally unnatural, were it not for gezeiros.